Welcome to the Indiana Basketball Source Podcast. I'm Trevor Andershock. I'll be joined today by Jeff Shanley and the Indianapolis Stars, Kyle Nedrib, to discuss the Marion County Tournament, the City Tournament. We'll get a few state picks from Kyle, along with a few of the breakout players and many, many other topics. Kyle does a great job covering Central Indiana for the Indianapolis Stars, so this will be a fun podcast.
All right, at this time, let's go ahead and welcome back Kyle Nedrib to the Shark Tank. It is second time here. How does it feel to be back?
It's awesome. I enjoy being back in the Shark Tank. And
we thank you for classing up this podcast. This is way over our heads right now, having some of your stature. We're just thankful it's not going to go all to hell.
I was told there'd be dinner, so I'm looking forward to that after we get done.
I have some Hot Pockets in the freezer waiting for you.
No, thanks for having me on. Looking forward to it. And talking high school basketball with you guys.
Yeah, I guess we'll start off. Just get some of the main thoughts that you have just on the first half of the season. What stood out to you? What are some interesting storylines that you've come across?
Well, obviously, you know, Romeo Langford is probably, you know, the biggest storyline. Can he catch Damon? And at this point, it looks like probably not. You know, it's going to take, like, you know, looking at the math, it's, you know, what, 39 points a game if they make it all the way, even if they make it to the state finals, which is a pretty ridiculous pace. But, you know, he could go out and score 60 on somebody and you wouldn't be totally shocked. But even then, it's going to be pretty hard, you know, mountain to climb. So, you know, watching him, I went down and watched him at Jeffersonville Friday just to see a home game down there. And it's incredible, you know, the atmosphere and that's kind of what I went for. And Jeffersonville is undefeated in the – so I get there, walk in the doors before the JV game at 6 o'clock, and both student sections packed up to the rafters and chanting back and forth to each other. And
it's got to be a thrill for those JV kids.
Oh, yeah.
They have people at their games.
Yeah, every once in a while you run into that where you see, you know, a big varsity game and the JV kids are playing in front of a packed house. So that was awesome. But, yeah, so he's probably the big, you know, the biggest. But, you know, it's been kind of neat this year. We've seen, you know, not only him, but Robert Finnessy's putting up huge points, and Eric Hunter's had some huge games, and, you know, Moore from Cloverdale's had a 50-point game. It's kind of unusual, I guess, that we've seen so many, you know, big scoring games. And, you know, Keon Brooks at Northside's had a big one. So
Alex,
you know,
Hemingway had a 53-point game.
Yeah, 50-something, too. So that's been a little bit unusual, I think. I don't know that we've seen that many, you know, 50, you know, Trayvon Blewett would do it here and there, but Trey Lyles, but I don't know if we've seen that many in one season before. But so that's kind of been a big one. And you know, just I think, you know, now that we get into it, I always love this time of year because it's county and city back-to-back, and we're going to talk about that, of course. But, you know, I think now you kind of maybe get a sense a little bit on who's the real deal and maybe who's having a, you know, season they are disappointed in, but, you know, still plenty of time to turn it around, too.
Yeah, it seems – to me, and I've talked with Trevor about this too, there's no real dominant teams like, you know, the North Centrals of a few years ago or anything like that, especially in the Indy area. It's, you know, the mix seems really balanced. A lot of the suburban schools seem really balanced where there's not one team that jumps out at you. It's almost like there's a lot of parity. Is that something that you kind of feel too?
Yeah, when I was doing the preview, you know, I put Ben Davis just because they had a couple guys, you know, and Aaron Henry was back and they won state last year, but I wasn't really sold that they were necessarily the best. You know, I thought Carmel going in, I thought they would be right up there too, and, you know, they beat Center Grove, so maybe they're starting to get it going too. But, yeah, I don't see any real, you know, and Warren, you know, I always hear from David Bell, you know, even before the season that I didn't have them ranked high enough. But and they're proving me wrong because they are, you know, 10-0 and playing really well, better than I expected them to. But I think, you know, they're maybe the best team around here right now, but I don't think anyone would be totally shocked if, like, LC beat them tomorrow night in the county or if they didn't win, you know, their sectional even, you know. But but give them credit because, man, they're you know, even without Max Smith, you know, they come back and they're playing really, really well. But, yeah, I don't see, you know, HSE, Brownsburg, I think, is good. Center Grove is good. You know, you look at the MIC, and LC is probably ahead of schedule even from where you thought they might be. LN is, you know, hit and miss, but very talented. So they could beat anybody any given night. And, you know, you look down the list, at, you know, Cathedral's good. You know, there's a lot of teams that I think are capable of making a pretty deep run, you know, based on the matchups too. I mean, the matchups are a big deal once you get in the tournament. But, yeah, it's, to me, it's maybe more what you would think is why. And I thought North Central was the best team most of last year, but of course they ended up getting beat. But I think, you know, maybe this year more balanced than we've seen in a while.
Maybe not as high on the high end, but there's more depth to the quality of the teams around.
Yeah, I would say. I would say that. And, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how, because you always, even early in the season at the Southport deal that Brian Snow puts on, you know, a couple of people are asking me, you know, who do you think is going to win 4A? And it's like, man, it's just way too early. You know, it's at that point, even now, it's probably, because this point last year, you know, you wouldn't have thought Ben Davis was going to win state, you know. So it's a lot of it's about, you know, yeah, I mean, a lot of it's about when you start peaking at the right time. I think Ben Davis again this year, I think they're going to be a handful to knock out, you know, once the tournament starts. So it's just about, you know, putting it all together, you know, at the right time.
I remember last year, Trevor and I went to the Marion County tournament game where Ben Davis played at North Central and got smoked, mm-hmm. and Wilkes really wasn't a factor in that game. I think he had 4 or 6 points.
Yeah, you Aaron Henry shut him down, really.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but you would have never guessed that that team was the one that would go on to win state.
Now, that team had a lot of seniors, too. So they, I think they finally, that Center Grove game, I know they won, or they lost that game. And then after that game, they kind of had a meeting and kind of, you know, from there they put it together. And they had a lot of seniors, a lot of – you know, I think when you have seniors, there's a, you know, you kind of sense the end is coming and you got to put it together. So this team doesn't have as many, you know, seniors that way, but they have a really good one in Aaron Henry. So, you know, teams like that are senior dominated, I think have a little bit of more urgency to them. But again, I don't sense there's any big gap between a lot of these teams that I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, by anything really, you know, looking at the top 8 to 10 teams.
Especially when you have a sectional, like when you have Warren Central, Lawrence North, Lawrence Central, all those guys in one sectional, some of the top teams aren't going to make it out of that first day of sectionals, basically. So that will really reset the whole tournament after that.
Like Warren last year, you know, they come in ranked number one and they run into LN. And if you watch that game, you know, LN, you look at the two teams, you wouldn't know who was number one. You know, LN looked like the more talented. And when they put it together, they were really good.
Yeah.
But, you know, can they do that? The problem with LN is can they do that consistently? And that remains to be seen. But when they are going good, I mean, they're as good as I think about any team out there, you know, and when they run the floor and they take good shots, you know, they're going to be tough to beat. But, you know, can you do that day, night, you know, game after game? That's kind of the question mark.
Yeah, that first couple of weeks, I thought Lawrence North was by far the best team. They're pressing and getting good looks. Like you were saying, they were really impressive. So if they can do that again, then they just beat Cathedral last mm-hmm. week. So, I mean, they've shown they can beat top tier teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they can do it. You know, that's a team I think I was probably higher on going into the year than maybe some people were, but then after watching them, it's like if they can harness that somehow, you know, gosh, they are, you know, I saw the Park Tudor game and they were just, you know, they looked really good that game, but then watched the LC game and they didn't look great. So
that's when Central really handled the press well. They didn't get, Lawrence North didn't get any points off turnover mm-hmm. really until late, and they started turning them over a little bit more, but for the most part, Danielle Meredith did a good job in the middle there and took care of the basketball. So, I mean, that's a huge key against Lawrence North.
Yeah, and LC, I've been really impressed. I'll be curious to see tomorrow, you know, how they handle what Warren brings to the table against them. But, you know, even if they lose that game, you know, they'll play them again here in about a week and a half. And I think that's a team, you know, they've had some really good wins and then some losses. But that's probably to be expected with a couple sophomores who are couple of your key guys too.
Right.
I want to ask you a question about the past few weeks, and you've done this throughout the time that you've covered high school basketball, is you kind of take breaks and go watch some small schools that are maybe out of the Indianapolis area. Just wanted to get your thought process into, I guess, not only why you do that, but what's different about it to you, what's similar about it to covering, you know, like a Warren Central, Lawrence North game on a Friday night in January. You know, what do you feel going into those games? And a lot of people don't know about those schools, and you kind of bring that to light.
Yeah, you know, as fun as it is to cover Mick and Marion County, you know, sometimes you feel like you're watching the same thing over and over. You know, you watch Warren and LN and North Central and Ben Davis, and that's fun. It's all fun to do, and you know, you get to know those people and coaches, and you feel like you can write from a perspective of actually knowing who the players are. But at some point it gets, you know, where it's fun to see something different. And that North Central, I went down to see – kind of went down to see North Central Farmersburg just because they had this long losing streak, and, you know, just kind of see them play and talk to their players about it. And it turned out to be – you know, they got throttled by Linton Stockton, but which was expected. You know, Linton's really good, you know, a really good small school program. But just wanted to do a story about, you know, how they were going about this long losing streak and, you know, trying to turn their program around. And after watching them, they're, you know, they're obviously a team that struggles, but hustles like crazy. They end up getting the last second shot and win the seventh place game down there. So it kind of turned out good timing. So stuff like that, I like to
get out of them. You brought the mojo out of them.
I guess so. But they were real cool about talking about the streak and everything. And they weren't satisfied. You know, they didn't talk like a beaten down team. There are a lot of football kids who are good. You know, they're good program in football. So have had success in a different sport, but just not basketball. They don't practice basketball in the off season necessarily. So
did you go into that blind to, you know, their attitude towards games, or did you have a feeler out that, you know, this is a team that's losing a lot but still playing hard, good attitude, stuff like that? Or
I kind of just wanted to go down there and see what I, without telling the coach I was coming or whatever, mm-hmm. just so I wouldn't, you know, so I kind of watch him without him knowing I was there, really.
Yeah.
And then talk to him after the game. And really, after that game, they had been beaten down, you know, pretty bad the last couple of games. And he was really not happy with his team because he thought, this, for the most part, that game they didn't play very well. And they didn't. But after I talked to him for a while, then he's kind of like, because they had some close losses early in the year mm-hmm. that they probably should have, you know, based on last year, they were making progress. So after talking to him and a couple of the players, you know, it felt like a good they were at some point they're going to win a game this year,
right.
You know, based on who they were playing and their attitudes and stuff. So I had some idea, but not I kind of wanted to go in blind and just see what. And if I didn't get a story out of it, you know, I could write about Linton or something else, or, you know, because it wasn't on deadline, so I could have found something else to write about.
But yeah.
You know, just, and also I wanted to see, I'd never been to a game at White River Valley, so I wanted to see that gym, and I'm kind of a gym nerd anyway, so that was another.
The home of the Graves, right?
Yeah, the home of the Graves, and they're not anywhere close to where they've been as a, you know, they had some really good teams back in the 90s, but they're not, you know, not very good right now, but that gym is very, it's really neat. It's like one of those where you walk, kind of like Newcastle, where you walk in and everything's below you mm-hmm. by the seats, kind of, you know, like Edinburgh or something like that. So, yeah.
And there's so many cool gyms in Southern Indiana too, I think. Cause so many people keep the gyms from, you know, the 40s or 50s. And, you know, after consolidation, like, well, we'll just build the high school around the old gym.
Yeah, and that's basically what White River Valley, I think they went through a couple of consolidations, and they always just kept that. It's right off the school there, and they've kept it, and it's got a really unique, you know, old school feel to it. And it wasn't like a huge. No, both I watched Shackamack win against White River Valley actually too, and you know, so neither game was like a huge game, but there was a good crowd there, and it's always a, you know, their county tournament's always kind of a big deal. So then I went down and saw Morristown play in their county tournament the other night, and kind of similar deal, you know. Big crowd at Waldron for, you know, the girls and the boys. And, you know, that's fun to break out and watch something different, I think, once in a while and see, you know, good teams at a different level, you know, that we don't see around here in Marion County as much.
Let's delve in now to the Marion County tournament that's coming up this week. Opening round games tomorrow starting out. I know this is one of our favorite weeks of the year, just a chance to see the best of the best in the greater Indianapolis area duke it out. Really no, I guess, prohibitive favorites. You can kind of call Warren Central one if you want, because they're unbeaten right now, but maybe not the most talented team in the tournament. Your thoughts on kind of a wide open field here?
Yeah, I think we talked about it before we went on the air here a little bit, and I, you know, Warren might be the best team, but they also got probably maybe the toughest draw, you know, having to play Lawrence Central, even though they're at home. You know, that's a Lawrence Central team, like we talked about, that has, you know, some big wins this year, and they're not going to be scared of playing Warren. DeAndre Davis, you know, I think I mentioned him specifically, but played really well against Lawrence North, and you know, he's a sophomore, but I thought he played really, really well. And Daniel Meredith kind of did everything, does a little bit of everything that they need him to do. And Al Gooden, I think, is one of the best coaches, getting to know him a little bit the last few years.
Sharks are president of Gooden's fan club.
Going up against him and his Harding teams back up in Fort Wayne were beyond tough to play against.
Well, he had a reputation, you know, before he came down here, and you know, and I knew his name, but didn't really see his teams play until he got here, and almost immediately you could tell by the way he talked and the way his teams played, like he knew what he was doing, and I think he's established a reputation in this county now as one of the better coaches around. But I really think that's going to be a great game tomorrow night. You know, Warren with Cushenberry, you know, he's averaging, I think, about 5 assists a game and doing a good job for him this year. And then, you know, Jesse Bingham is having a good season. And, of course, David Bell, you know, goes off for 24 against HSC and makes a game-winning shot for them. And he's just a gamer. He's not necessarily, a basketball – maybe he's a basketball player, but he's a football prospect. But all kinds of athleticism and good rebounder for a guard. But, yeah, that's going to be – I think that you're right. I mean, that's the best game, best matchup, you know, right out of the gate. But that top of the, you know, that top of the bracket there, not especially easy either.
Yeah, on the top side, you have Lawrence North, Pike, who's won the past 3 Marion County tournaments. They're going for a four-peat there. And then a Brebeuf squad that's maybe doesn't have the size of the 4A schools, but definitely skilled. Miami of Ohio signee, Mijah White, Simon Banks, Spencer Rice. I mean, that's a talented group, too.
Yeah, White is back. He'd missed some time with ankle injury, but came back and played this weekend. And I think got some, you know, kind of got his lungs back against Zionsville. And then he had 15 against Tinley, and they beat Tinley. And that's a dangerous team, I think, with, you know, not only him, but Fitzgerald, you know, big guy. And then Spencer Rice, he's averaging, you know, I think 17 or 18 a game so far. So
shooting it really well from 3.
Yeah, and Simon Banks, of course, too. So you got a good 4 players that can all score for them. And I wouldn't be completely shocked to see them playing on. You know, they would play LN if they can. If they beat Lutheran, and then LN has Southport, so you kind of would expect to see LN Brebeuf. That'd be one of the better quarterfinal games, I would think.
Especially at Brebeuf, because that game would be at Brebeuf.
Yeah, and that's a. Hey, I'd have to go back and look, but I think Brebeuf's had some success against LN in the past, you know, over the past few years. So that'd be a great game, I think, in the quarterfinal round. And then, of course, Pike, you mentioned, nearest I can tell, I don't think there's ever been a 4-time winner of the county. So that's kind of a storyline, you know, going into the county tournament. I think I counted it up last year, I think only 6 times. And this tournament goes back to 1919. Only 6 times, I think, there's been a 3-time winner.
Wow.
So that shows you how hard it is. You know, Doug Mitchell and Jack Kiefer have told me before that winning this is harder than winning state in some level. So, you know, I don't know if that's true, but something you say or whatever. But, you know, I think that's, you know, there's some validity to that because it is, you know, 4 games in a week basically. And a lot of, you know, you're going to have to get through some really good teams to win it. So, you know, I think that's a, you know, it's a credit to Pike. And for whatever reason, they put it together, you know, when the county comes around. I'd be surprised if this team could do it, but nonetheless, it's a storyline for sure going into it.
And then we talk about the top half, the draw, the bottom half. I don't want to say it's a clear path for the defending state champion Ben Davis Giants, but definitely not as difficult on that half as the top half. We see a North Central side that lost a lot from last year. Park Tudor's not their usual selves. They're really young. You have Speedway, Beech Grove down there on that half the draw. Do you think this is a situation where Ben Davis can kind of rest themselves a little bit getting to Friday or even Saturday night?
I think they can, you know. I'm sure they won't approach it that way, or Mark James will be, you know, the way he goes. he won't think that way at all. You know, Decatur's not, you know, it's not like they're a complete pushover, and they – if I remember right, they gave Ben Davis a pretty close game in the sectional last year. You know, I think it was 7 or 8 points, something like that. So, you know, that's not a complete thing. They got Kenny Tracy and Ryan Bostic, who were scoring double figures for him. But, yeah, definitely, you know, Franklin Central and Park Tudor are down from what they've been. You know, Isaiah Moore for Park Tudor is for sure a dangerous player as far as being able to put up points. But, complete team-wise, I mean, you look at that four-team grouping, you definitely think Ben Davis is the clear-cut favorite and can probably have a little bit easier road and rest a little bit before they get to Southport on Friday night. And then also with the, you know, Ron Colley, we didn't talk about that. Ron Colley, North Central, I think will be one of the better, maybe the second best game Tuesday night. And I think Ron Colley, we talk about senior dominated teams like last year with Ben Davis, they're kind of in that same boat this year.
Yeah, I was looking at the roster. I think they only have two non seniors on their entire roster.
Yeah. Kellen Schreiber's having a huge year for him. Mm-hmm. Then you said Bryson Meek will be back for Ron Colley.
Yeah, Meek will be back. He's been out for, I think, two or three games, but he gives you some, you know, 6'3" and some good athleticism and good defender too. So yeah, they'll need him against North Central. You know, some good athletes on North Central's team. So I'm picking Ron Colley in a close one there. But and also Rob Brown was telling me today from Ron Colley that this is the first time a mixed school other than Center Grove, because they play them in the regular season, that has been to Ron Colley since 2004. So,
wow.
Yeah, so playing in that little gym, that's a little bit different, you know, something a little bit different for North Central.
It's like a mid-major, finally getting a Big Ten school at home, waiting to pounce.
Yeah, senior team. I mean, Ron Colley, you always look at that, I think. And so Ron Colley, I think, has got some, you know, some urgency, I think, to their group a little bit this year.
Yeah. The Marion County tournament, you kind of said that some coaches think it's tougher to win this. Do you think that's just because it's four games in 5 days and there's so many good teams? It seems like it doesn't always translate. Cause you said, Pike's won it the last 3 years, but we haven't really seen Pike make a run past maybe winning sectionals on the past few years. Do you think this can kind of be a hindrance to teams if they win this, or it doesn't seem like teams are really using this as a stepping stone?
Yeah, I don't know it necessarily translates. I don't think it's a negative thing, really. But, I think Pike is maybe, especially last year, it was almost like they overachieved to win that county. Even talking to Bill Zick after they – I can't remember who they won. They beat somebody on Friday night. Maybe it was Ron Colley even. And it wasn't a great game and they won. But at the time it looked like – you know, because North Central beat Warren in a really good semifinal game.
Right.
And Pike Ron Colley was kind of the, you know, the
undercard.
The undercard, yeah. And so everything looked like North Central, you know, they'd beaten New Albany, they beat Warren, they were really rolling pretty good. And I remember Bill Zick after the game was like, you know, he didn't even really think, I don't think that they could beat them. But they got out on them, on top of them, and got confidence, and they ended up winning that game. It was kind of an upset, so I don't know that necessarily – you know, you can say, oh, it hurt them down the stretch to win the county. But I don't know that there's a direct correlation either. I think it's a tough tournament to win. You know, it's obviously tough to win a sectional also. But I think it can be I think Park Tudor won in 2013 and 14. Blewett's would have been his junior and senior year. And then they kind of, by doing that, I think got him some more respect you know, by winning the county, that kind of showed, all right, they're not just a small school powerhouse. So it can work in your favor. Like if a Beech Grove goes out this year and wins a game or two, you know, they'll probably beat Speedo, I would think. And then if they can win their second game, you know, that could be kind of a similar situation. So there's good stories, I think, in that. But I guess what I'm saying is a team like Beech Grove can use this to maybe get some confidence, you know, as the season goes along. But if you're a big school, I don't know that you know, it's kind of, you know, they've got so many tough games left anyway that it's a long time before the sectional starts.
It seems like there's always one team in the Friday semifinals that you don't expect to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like, you know, maybe three favors and the one team that kind of just gets hot for a couple games.
Yeah. Friday night at Southport for the county is one of my favorite nights of the year because you almost always end up with, you know, four good teams, you know, maybe, like you said, a surprise team, but one year I remember, you know, it was Yogi Farrell and Lawrence Central had a good team, and North Central was there, and probably
Jeremy Hollowell would be at LC.
Yeah, and that was just a really, really good grouping there. I think it was LN and North Central, then LC and Park Tudor maybe. But yeah, Division I players, you know, all over
up
the
and
place.
Down the roster,
yeah.
All the teams.
And it may not be like that this year. It could be, I guess, if you have, you know, obviously Ben Davis and you know, there's some good players, you know, Lawrence North and may not be the star-studded of some of those years, but you're going to end up with some good matchups, I think, regardless. I think what you want to hopefully avoid, and like we talked before we started here, was, you know, Marcus Burke and Franklin Central a couple years ago. I was really looking forward to seeing them, you know, and then they got upset.
On a big stage.
Yeah, on a big stage, and they got upset before they got there, but that's kind of the tough thing about it, too, is getting there. So, you know, I think, you know, a team like LC, you know, if they win a couple games and they get to play in that stage, I think that's a neat thing. So, no matter who it is, I think you'll end up with some fun matchups and a chance to see how people perform. Sometimes that Friday night's even better than Saturday, you know, because by Saturday it's you're kind of exhausted a little bit. Right. The games aren't necessarily the best, but that Friday's always fun. I always look forward to that night.
And the week after the Marion County Tournament, we're back again here in the metro area for the Indianapolis City Tournament, kind of a cap on the main tournaments throughout the high school year. This is an interesting one because of how they do the draw. They have four teams that get double byes. They've only seeded the top seven, and then the rest were done by blind draw. How do you think that plays into it with the double byes, kind of like the Big East term would do it? You know, do you think those teams, the top four seeds, which this year are Cathedral, Ritter, Attucks, and Tinley, do you think they kind of get rusty waiting around for those teams? Is this a chance for an underdog to get some momentum, knock off one of those teams?
I think so. I kind of like the double bye, to be honest. I think because that way, from a writer's perspective or a fan, you know, you know you're going to get, you know, those best teams already make it in. So I kind of like it that way. And I don't know. I don't understand really why they aren't seeding the thing all the way through. I've talked to some coaches. I guess I forgot to kind of ask them why they're doing that this year. But what's kind of bizarre is, you know, you end up with 11 versus 14, which is Chautauqua and Heritage Christian playing each other in the first night on that Monday night. And those teams aren't, you know, those teams should probably be, you know, 8 or 9 range or something. So one of those teams is going to be sitting at home on Tuesday, and then you'll have, you know, for instance, you know, Cecina's a 15 and playing, you know, so you just got some kind of strange alignments a little bit. Covenant Christian, I guess, for example, Covenant Christian and Washington are playing each other, and that's an 8-17, which is, you know, you wouldn't have that if you seed it all the way through. But
and they used to seed it all the way through.
Yeah, right? They've done it different ways. It used to be a blind draw completely, and they had some really bad. Not bad, but just, you know, you had lopsided brackets, I guess. So they went to a seeding, which I like the seeding. I think you just end up with better matchups that way, especially in the semifinal round. But now they've, for whatever reason, gone back to a combination of a seeding and a blind draw. So we'll see how that works, I guess. And I don't think it's not a huge deal necessarily because you got the top seven seeded. But anyway, I like the double bye. I think you'll end up with some better matchups later in the tournament. And Cathedral, I think, has probably established himself as a very solid number one seed. But I think, you know, you look down the list, I think Attucks and Tindley and Ritter, you know, the 2, 3, 4 are all capable of maybe not, you know, I don't know if Ritter, you know, that'd probably be tough to beat Cathedral when they play each other, but I think all four of those teams are really solid teams.
Yeah, Ritter's playing a lot better now. They have Shelby Turner back from his ACL injury. It seems like he's giving them a real boost, and they're playing a lot differently since he's come back. And Attucks, with the way they shot it Saturday, yeah, they should have a chance to win. They were over 50% for the game. Michael Poole had 29, just lit it up from outside. And obviously, they aren't going to do that every night, but when they do, they're tough to beat. So if they matched up with anybody in this city tournament and shoot like that, they're going to have a good chance of winning it.
And they'll find in the city, you know, most teams won't mind running with them.
Right.
So that's going to be to their favor most of the time. Yeah. So not only, I don't know if anybody can run like they do. You know, maybe, you know, Tinley will get out and they'll run too. But yeah, I think, you know, anytime you have a team like Attucks with a lot of those guys experienced from last year that have won a state championship, and Micah Poole, I was watching that game on TV before I went to the Morristown game, and I mean, he's on fire. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen him shoot it like
that.
He
banked in his first one, then he was pure for me.
But yeah, I mean, he's, you know, if he can shoot like that, and they won't get that every night, but that's kind of what they can do. They can pile up points in a hurry on you. And that was a neat deal, by the way, watching that at Grand Park to kind of see how that looked. But I wonder if they'll do that more often now with the Pacers running that.
Yeah, you talk about teams that maybe you'll be willing to run with Addicts. I'm looking at the matchups here. If Howe wins, they would be playing at Addicts in the quarterfinals. I think Howe would definitely wouldn't mind running with Addicts.
That's the only way they know how to play.
Yeah. So if there's an over-under betting line on that, just go ahead and take the over no matter what it is. That might be a 98-94 type game.
Yeah, that would be – so that would be quarterfinal. Yeah, Thursday, right? Yeah, so that'd be – Cecina and Howe, that could be a game too that could come along on Tuesday of that week, and that could be a good one. Yeah. I had a chance to see Chatar, by the way, the other night, and I don't know that they're capable of making a tournament run to a title, but that's definitely a team that's gotten a lot better over last year, especially on offense, a much better – offensive team than they were a year ago.
And they've already beaten Heritage Christian earlier in the year.
Yeah, I think it was a 1-point game, so that's a tough draw for both of them, but should be a very close game anyway, and that's at Chatard on Monday night. Not coming Monday, but next Monday, a week from today.
Have you seen Manuel yet? That's one team I haven't had a chance to see so far this season.
No, although... familiar with their players from last year that they had back, but haven't seen them yet in person this year. So they would have to – that Arlington, if Arlington Manual, that could be a pretty good game in the Tuesday game. And then winner of that, I believe, would have Ritter. So Manuel Ritter could be – that'd be a good quarterfinal game.
And this is kind of a bittersweet city tournament because this is going to be the last time around for three high schools playing in this: Broad Ripple, Arlington, and Northwest, that are being closed at the end of the school year. Have you had a chance to sit down and talk with any of those kids in any of those schools about what it means to be the last team, at least right now, the last team at those schools?
You must be reading my to-do list. Of No, that's one I definitely want to get to that, though, especially – I've covered those three schools, quite a few times over the years, and they've all had good teams at one time or another.
Oh, yeah,
and, Northwest and Broad Ripple, I covered those teams – several times. They had a good rivalry against each other. Didn't like each other a whole lot, but those are, especially in basketball, all those schools have had such success over the years, and especially Broad Ripple going way back, back to the 20s and 30s and 40s, and so it's sad, especially in basketball, for those schools, and especially boys basketball. They've been so good and produce such good talent, over the years, and that is something I definitely want to do, and talk to some of the alumni, and I know Broad Ripple's done some things over there to bring back the alumni already, and Arlington football team actually in the fall, ended up winning a sectional championship.
Yeah, I remember your story on them.
Kind of going out on a little bit of a bang, so yeah, sad. And Arlington and Northwest actually play each other the first round of the city, and it'll be the last time for those schools, but yeah, it's having covered a lot of city games, it'll be a lot different not having those three around.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed going to Broad Ripple High School, mm-hmm. Especially when they would host a sectional or something and it would be packed in there, mm-hmm. or back in the Ron Patterson, Stephen mm-hmm. Jamison days of having good crowd and stuff. I thought
because that's a big gym and it can get going.
Yeah, yeah, and the band would always be real loud. Yeah, yeah. It'd always have a great atmosphere there.
Yeah, they'd have the cheerleaders there in the bleachers kind right. of dancing and yeah, it's definitely different atmosphere, that's for sure. And they always used to have the sectional every other year or whatever would be there, and I remember the year North Central and LN were playing, the fight happened there. Yeah, that was at Broad
Ripple.
I was
there for that one.
Yeah, and there's been some great atmospheres, and Broad Ripple's had some really good teams. Even since Scott Hicks has been there, they've had some really good teams. So, really strong, proud history, and hopefully they can have a good end of this season too.
Are you going to have a prediction for the city tournament? Have you looked ahead yet?
I did my county one today, but I haven't. I think city's. I think it's
you want to break your story on the county before it gets published. Exclusive here in the Shark Tank.
County I had, let's see, I had in the final four, I had Warren, I had, who else would be in there?
Ben Davis, maybe?
Ben Davis, I had Ron Colley, and LN, I believe. And I had, ended up with Ben Davis beating Warren in the championship game. So okay. I covered that first game when they played each other. I think you were there too, weren't
yeah,
you, Trevor?
Yeah, I was there.
And, and didn't think Ben Davis played all that great. But it was a lot to do with Warren. Warren got ahead, and I thought did a good job spreading the floor and kind of working the clock some and working for good shots. Shot the ball really pretty well from three, too, that game. So.
And Warren's one of the best defensive teams I've seen in the state.
Yeah, I think they had to be the
recent
best.
Recent memory. I mean, just
without a shot crazy. Blocker, too. It's just all perimeter guys that can switch and get after guys.
And they rebound well. Yeah. Bell is just a destructive defender.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Yeah, very good. And he can jump off. He can rebound like he's about 3-4 inches taller than what he is. So, yeah, they're the real deal. When they get in front of you, when they get ahead, they're going to be tough to beat because they can handle the ball really well with multiple guards. So, but I took Ben Davis. I think, you know, they'll be motivated, you know, if they play each other again. And I think that'd be a good championship game, actually. I think that'd be a fun one.
That'd be really fun. I want to see if Ben Davis's guards progress throughout the year. They really struggled to handle Warren Central's pressure in that game earlier in the year. And they had to have Aaron Henry handle the ball most of the game because the other guys couldn't handle the pressure. So if they're going to make another state run, they're going to need those backcourt guys to step up and handle pressure.
Yeah, that's one of their biggest storylines. You know, if they're going to be able to repeat, that's got to happen. They even said that, you know, talking to a couple of their coaches before the game, you know, if they have to move Aaron Henry into ball handling, you know, that takes him away from some of his scoring ability. So they don't necessarily want to do that all the time, even though they can.
Right.
So.
And then your city tournament pick.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard to pick. You know, I think I'd probably at this point take Cathedral, and I'm curious to, you know, see how they look against, you know, if they play Addicts. I guess that wouldn't be till the championship game, but that again, that'd be a really fun championship game. See those two play each other. But I think I'd probably take Cathedral over Addicts. I think those are the two best teams. You know, you look at the two rosters. Obviously, Tenley, if Eric Hunter can get hot, you know, they could maybe throw a wrench in those picks. And I think Howe's probably maybe a little bit surprisingly low on the seeding at 7. But I think they're a team that maybe if they can upset the apple cart a little bit, if they can put it all together. And, you know, like Trevor said, with Ritter getting their point guard back, I think that'll make them even more dangerous with Turner back in the mix. But I think, you know, if you look at the whole roster, Cathedral won it last year and won it, if I remember right, in the championship. It was fairly easily in the championship. So and I think
They hit a ton of threes in the first quarter, I think. Just
is that when Trey Landers went off from three?
Yeah, and Coleman had – they think made 6 threes in the first quarter last year. They ran out and hid.
Yeah, and I think they might be better this year. But, yeah, that'll be – that was the tournament when Kervasia hit the miracle shot to beat Addicts, and then they didn't play as well the next – you know, that Monday night against Cathedral. Yeah. But, yeah, we'll see. I think that'll be a fun – it should be a fun. I always like the city tournament too. That's always it's always interesting matchups and
again the semifinals at Tech on Saturday, just like the county at Southport. It's just a great atmosphere in that gym.
Yep, those are two of the best nights in my opinion are the semifinal nights. Usually the championship, because it's a Monday night, is a different night, so there's not anything else going on. So you usually get a pretty decent crowd. Crowd was kind of down last year, I thought, but you didn't have, you know, maybe quite the star power that you've had
big
before.
Names that you usually have in that one.
All right.
What about your Porter County Conference?
Yeah, you'll have to read the exclusive online for that. I do like those county tournaments, though. The Shelby County, that was fun to go down there and see. You know, 93rd annual, so I was looking at the...
Back when they had to get ladders to get the ball out of the peach basket after every hoop. Good thing games were only played like 15 to 12 back then.
Yeah, with the wood stove at the end of the court.
Yeah. We talked a little bit earlier about Romeo. Do you think it's an open and shut case for Mr. Basketball for him?
You know, I don't even think about it because I just assume that it will be. Probably has been for a while. Maybe that's unfair to some of the other guys to think that way. But
it's not like there's a dearth of talent in the senior classes. There's tons of very, very good kids that would be front runners in any other year. It's just...
And kids having really good years. You know, it's not like those guys have fallen off at all. Yeah. You know, so it's probably unfair to think that way. And I was thinking maybe when he got that finger injury, if it was something that kept him out for a while, you know, maybe that, but I just can't see it. You know, I can't see, after everything he's done, and he's won a state championship, it's not like he hasn't done that either, so you can't say, like, oh, he's never won anything, because he has. And, you know, maybe maybe they don't win it this year, but I still don't think that'll keep them.
That sectional is going to be really tough.
Really tough.
Even though they dominated Jeffersonville, but they have them, Floyd Central. Yeah. Even Bedford North's pretty good. So.
Yeah, and that's going to be a hot ticket down there. Yeah, I showed up down there at New Albany for the Jeff game. It said sold out on the door, and it's like, that'd been sold out for a while. And I heard tickets were going for like $30 on Facebook.
Like, man, have you been down there before that?
I had been there, but not during Romeo's time. Okay. I've been in the gym several times, but not for a game.
Yeah,
during this era. So
that catwalk press box area is always pretty interesting.
Yeah, so because you look back behind you, and the fans are like behind you when you look back, and that's like, it's kind of a weird setup there, and you're looking down.
Yeah, straight down. Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So that's
not for those fearful of heights.
No, and I had my computer sitting there, and where I was sitting, you didn't have. On the other side, over on to the left, there's a kind of a catch. That if you drop something, you can catch it. It'll catch it for you. Where I was sitting, there was nothing. So like, man, I hope I don't
give somebody a headache.
Yeah. But it was a great atmosphere. I had to go down there once before he graduated just to see a game, and that was a good one to go to because Jeffersonville and New Albany don't like each other a whole lot. So
the Jeffersonville guys before the season were saying they were going to beat New Albany. So,
and that got back to Romeo and company. He had 5 dunks, and one of them was off the backboard from Sean East. And you could just tell, like, there was, every time Jeffersonville would score, it only made them madder. So, it was at one point, I think it was 40-14. I mean, Jeffersonville's good. That's a pretty good team.
Bailey Falkenstern, Trey Coleman.
Yeah, that sophomore, the 6'6 off, that is
Coleman. Yeah, that's right.
He's a good player. He took Romeo down on the block one time, then was immediately followed by a dunk.
Watch this, kid. All right, well, we're going to put you on blast here. You're 4 state champions, and it will be your job on the line for this. If you are wrong on even one of them, we're going to be finding a new high school sports reporter for the Indy Star.
Then I never hear the end of, why are you hating on our team? No, I'll say, if you're serious, you want me to pick them?
Shark's always serious.
This is not a serious podcast, as you can tell by the people who run it.
I think I might take New Albany to win state after seeing them a couple times. I don't know what you guys think, but when they're playing really well, I'm not I'm leery of their size and their interior defense a little bit. But all things considered, I mean, Sean East is a lot better than he used to be last year, and I guess that's expected, but. The two teams I've seen, South Bend Riley, I think is really good too.
And Riley will have an easier path than most of the other teams here.
Yeah.
No dominant team in Northwest Indiana, and Elkhart, South Bend area is pretty down, so they should be able to get through regionals probably pretty easily.
Yeah.
Waiting for the Chesterton Trojans to round into form. Trevor might be a little bit late on that pick, but
they're bouncing back. had a tough one for Saturday night against Maryville. But
is this like a separate Chesterton section of the podcast?
Yeah. 10 minutes.
10 minutes dedicated just to the Trojans.
Player by player report.
New Albany will have a very tough route to win because they'll have to beat probably Bloomington South is down there. Center Grove is down. Those teams they would see in the regional are really good. That regional is going to be really tough. And even if Floyd Central ends up coming out, they'll be tough too. So you got to beat getting out of sectional will be tough for them. Regional will be tough. Semi-state, you'll probably run into somebody from around here. So that's not easy. Not easy route. Probably the hardest they would have. Even tougher than maybe 2 years ago. So.
Yeah, that's why I kind of give Riley and Northside a little bit of a edge on making it to the state finals, just because their path is going to be easier the sectional and regional.
There's usually been a DAC school the past few years that's been really good, whether it be Maryville or Crown Point when they hit Grant and Sasha, and even Warsaw with Kyle Mangus, making deep runs. There's none of those teams to really get in their way. Northside would have a tough sectional or regional opponent. I believe they would HSC and that sectional would feed in there too. So that could be a good matchup potentially in the regional round.
Yeah, HSC will be going that way too, or Carmel, whichever team comes out of there. And Zionsville is up on the that side of things too. So you've got some local teams that'll be coming from the north as well. And Zionsville's probably this might be their best team, their best chance anyway. They haven't won a sectional in in really long time, but McCutchen will probably be their biggest.
And McCutchen's been playing better lately.
Yep.
Finnessy's kind of found his exact role of setting everybody up while still scoring a ton of points.
Yeah, so. Those two play Saturday, I believe, Zionsville and McCutchen.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens there if Zionsville can get through. But yeah, I would agree with you on that the north side's a little bit less resistant probably. But I still like, I think New Albany, from what I've seen when they're playing at their best, I think they're, in my opinion, the best team out there. But I like Bossy. I like Newcastle too. I admittedly had forgotten Newcastle went to 3A before the season.
You were one of those guys. Kyle's wondering, why aren't there any votes for Newcastle in 4A? I knew I voted for them.
Yeah.
Nobody else sees what I see. Come on.
Yeah, the football crossover always gets to me on stuff like that. So the 3A is really good. Some of the top teams have a lot of losses, like Brebeuf and Culver Academy is a good team.
Culver played everybody this year.
Yeah, they're going to have.
They flew down to Evansville, by the way.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a nice advantage to have.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's several teams in 3A that have multiple losses already. Like Addicts is, you know, they're 9-2. But, yeah, I knew Newcastle's 12-0, and they played a good schedule, too.
Winning the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, winning the Hall of Fame.
That's a good accomplishment.
Of course, Gillis is a really good player. But yeah, I think there's three teams there between them, Bossy and Addicts, that are all pretty high level. And I'd put Culver maybe right below that and Brebeuf right there, too.
Yeah. That sectional 27 is loaded with Addicts, Ritter, Brebeuf, Guerin. I feel like I'm missing one more.
Danville's not in there.
No.
Yeah.
But it's like Chatard.
Is Howe in that sectional 3?
No. That's Howe is 2A.
Howe's 2A. Yeah, Broad Ripple's in there.
Oh, yeah,
that's
Broad
right,
Ripple.
That's who it is.
Yeah, Broad Ripple.
I knew it was a city school.
Broad Ripple's Chatard, yeah. So some of those teams, yeah, that's even like Ritter, that's going to be tough, you know. Even though they're really good this year.
Yeah.
And that's like last year in that sectional when you had Manuel, Brebeuf, Addicts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a loaded sectional last year. It appears it's going to be the same way again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be difficult. Yeah, so if whoever comes out of that, I think will have a shot to make a deep run. I would kind of favor Addicts slightly over Brebeuf, but could see that going either way. Brebeuf's been playing pretty well lately.
Yeah. What about 2A? It seems like it's pretty top-heavy in 2A. After you get through the past top couple teams, it kind of falls off there.
So once you get to 2A, it seems like everything's, like, spread out. You know? Because you got, like, Westview, who, you know, I know they have a good program, and, you know, they came down here a couple years ago for state, and they brought a huge crowd, and they had a good team. But it gets hard to distinguish, you know, because Covington, I know they're doing really well, and so it's more spread out where you don't have as many common opponents.
Right.
So I think that makes it hard, but, you know, I know Howe's lost a few games now, but especially around here, you know, I still kind of like them. I've seen Oak Hill play. I like that team still. You know, I know Tipton's having a good season. Frankton's really good again.
Yeah, Frankton's having a really good year.
Yeah, I would kind of favor Frankton, I would say, probably, if you're asking me right now. But I think a team like Howe has got the talent to do some damage. And
they just play a different style than those teams will have seen.
Which can be good and bad,
yeah.
You know, for them. Like, they run into a Shenandoah or something, and, you know, Shenandoah's going to make you play their way, you know, so Howe's got to trade. I think it's harder to speed a team up than it is to slow them down sometimes. So that can be difficult, you know, when you're playing those teams maybe you haven't seen as much before.
Who was your pick in 2A, Shark?
I believe I went with Frankton,
yeah,
if I remember
probably.
Correctly. I've seen them twice this year, and they pretty much thoroughly start to finish controlled a good Wapahani team. And then I went and saw them in the opening round of the Madison County Tournament. And they lost by 4, I think, to Pendleton Heights. And Heights was in control pretty much the entire second half, you know, by 6 or 7. But Frankton's a good team. You know, Caden Key, Landon Wines, Rylan Detling gives them some size in the middle. They really, after last year's state team, they only lost one starter, Maurice Knight.
You know, that's a pretty big starter.
It's a big loss, but, I mean, you have 6, 7 kids who played big roles on the state championship winning team back. I think that experience counts for a lot. Oak Hill with their size, you know, every starter 6'3" or taller. You don't see that very often. We talked about Westview and Covington. I think Kyle's exactly right. You don't really have any comparisons to go off of because the teams
are all...
You don't know anything. You know, it's just... It's hard to know how those teams compare to, like, teams up here or each other, you know? So, yeah, I do like that Franklin team after seeing them in the state finals last year. And Knight was – he was a big-time player for them. But all those guys have experience, and, and obviously they blew Crawford County out of the water that game. But, you know, I like Franklin. I know they had a – both their losses are to, you know, 4A teams. So, you know, I think some voters are kind of – you know, they just see the loss and, you know, automatically drop people way down. But, you know, those aren't bad losses by any means. And they beat Shenandoah. They beat, you know, they beat Oak Hill. You know, they beat Tipton. So they beat a lot of good teams.
And then 1A, you obviously see a couple of the favorites here in the Indy area with Tinley and University. But there's some good teams elsewhere. Blackhawk Christian, Southwood, some other teams around the state. Bar Reef.
Gary 21st Century been playing pretty well.
Gary 21st. Bar Reef seems like they're always – going to be right in the mix of things.
1A seems loaded this year to, you know, as far as you bring up all those teams. And
there's a lot of 1A teams that could do very well in the 2A state tournament.
Yeah, yeah, I would say. Definitely. Because Blackhawk's got, you know, 6'7", 6'8", 6'9". I mean,
it's and pretty skilled.
Yeah.
And a good point guard and good shooting, too. I mean, they don't have a lot of weaknesses.
I'd probably favor them a little bit. But I know, like, if you can beat Tinley, you know, and I was going to go to that Tinley University game if I didn't go to down to New Albany, Jeffersonville. So I kind of wish I could have seen that. But that's a great win for them, you know, to beat Tinley. Those two aren't in the same sectional anymore, so that's a good thing. They'll play later in the tournament if they see each other again. So,
does University go north and Tinley go south?
I have to – they're in 58. University's in 58 now, and Tinley's 59. So they would.
They'd both go south.
They would meet in the regional then. So, but at least, you know, both of them should, I would assume, probably get through the sectional and then play later. But, you know, like Lafayette Central Catholic, too, you know, they're, they just beat McCutcheon the other night. So, you know, they were in the state finals last year. So, and then Morristown, I saw them the other night. That's, you know, Hayden Lankable is a great player, but they've got some other good pieces too to that team. Some good athletes on that team, and they're 12-1 right now. So that's a, like Trevor said, that's a really loaded class. And haven't seen Bar Reed, but I'm sure it's the same.
Yeah,
same recipe. A
couple big guys that are playing well. Keegan O'Neill down the post, about 6'5", 6'6". So yeah, I mean, pretty much the same old stuff from Brian Hughes' team.
I saw him in the opener last year with Washington. They beat that. They beat them several years in a row now, I think, in that opening game.
Yeah, they handled them easily this year as well.
You know, Barry's not going to do anything to beat themselves. Hughes is one of the best coaches in the state. He's going to have his kids ready for whatever comes at them.
I know Blackhawk did beat them down there in the tournament, so kind of could be a preview of the state title game.
Then one thing I want to hit on is, any surprise player that's really caught your eye this year that you really weren't focused on prior to this season?
That's a good question. I would say, probably DeAndre Davis from a perspective of I knew who he was, and maybe it was just – I know he's putting up pretty good numbers, but, gosh, for a lot of that game against LN, he looked like the best player out there.
Yeah, he was hitting shots all over the place, everything.
He was super confident. So that kind of caught me by surprise. You know, I wasn't expecting that this soon from him. But, you know, it's for a sophomore, you don't expect that every night, I guess, or anything. Armand Franklin, you know, has been – because really last year we saw what he could do. You know, he had 33 points in that sectional game. But to do what he's doing and get the offers he's getting now is maybe – I don't know, maybe not a huge surprise necessarily, but I think maybe it is that he's getting these offers now.
Yeah, he only averaged 10 points a game last year for Fisher. Now he's at 21 or 23, something like that.
Yeah, so everybody remembers that 33-point game, but he didn't really light it up all. It wasn't like he was lighting it up all season for Fishers, and you don't expect a sophomore to do that necessarily, but so he's definitely a name that sticks out.
And a lot of these people, like Armand, had good springs, good travel seasons, but didn't really produce for high school team last year. Like Franklin had a really good spring and summer, but wasn't huge for Fishers. And Brandon Newman from Valpo had a good spring and summer, but he was a third or fourth option for Valpo last year. So we saw a lot of these things coming. But like DeAndre Davis, he had a good spring, mm-hmm. but you wouldn't expect him to have the games he's had against Lawrence North and
no.
a few other ones.
It was kind of like, you know, last year I was really curious to see how Aaron Henry did against Chris Wilkes, like the first time they played each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he went toe-to-toe with them, and, you know, he's talking a little bit. You know, so it's like, all right, well, he's – because the question, you know, I always had with Aaron was, you know, how's he going to step up? Because he was kind of a quieter kid. And,
yeah.
But he didn't back down at all from Wilkes, and he really impressed me. So that's – you know, I always kind of look for that with those younger guys, how they're going to react in a big game. And I thought DeAndre Davis was really awesome, you know, that night. So,
yeah.
Yeah, those are probably the ones that stand out. I thought Isaiah Moore, when I've seen him play, he's been really good on a team where he's pretty much got to do everything on that team. So
yeah, it seems like he's been more consistent this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, obviously, he had the 41 mm-hmm. or 43 against Cloverdale, but then he would have games where he would barely look to score at all. But it seems this year, more consistent game in, game out for Park Tudor.
Yeah, I think that's going to help him. You know, having to do a lot is going to help him. When he doesn't have to do everything.
So. Right. Yeah, because he is one of the best shooters
mm-hmm.
in the state, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Shark? Do you have any surprises? We kind of talked about Newman. I would think that would be one of your surprises.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a chance to see him twice, 33-14 against Fort Wayne Northside in a loss. Saw him Friday night against Portage, obviously. Not a great Portage team this year, but 32-10 and then backs it up with a 39-15-4 outing against Penn on Saturday night. I think he's a kid that I know I've liked him for a couple years now. I think he's finally reaching that point where he's going to be getting high major offers, probably if not by the end of the high school season, by the end of the spring evaluation period with travel ball. Just a really smooth 6'4 score, great body, good athlete, intelligent, plays hard. You know, he's what a lot of kids, a lot of coaches, I should say, are looking for at the next level. He's a kid, piggybacking on what Kyle said with DeAndre Davis at LC, I think he's only scratching the surface of his potential. You know, I think especially next year when they're going to count on him a lot, he's going to mm-hmm. have a really big year for them.
Yeah, I got his stats today. He's averaging 26 points and 9.5 rebounds for Valpo so far this year.
Holy cow.
So. Pretty good season.
It's not bad. And that Valpo team only has two seniors on it, so that's a team that we may be looking at next year that could be one of those DAC teams that we're missing this year, next year making a deep run in 4A.
As we're sitting here, too, I was thinking you know, I know we talked about him, but Sean East is, I think, he surprised
another
me.
Another kid I would put down.
His decision-making has really taken a step forward, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And that's a lot of pressure on a guy like that who's playing with Romeo and those high expectations. And
big crowd every game.
Yeah, and I think he's really lived up to, or beyond, I guess, what I thought he could do. So I tip my hat to him because I think he's having a really solid year.
But he's been in those big environments. I mean, he was a starter on their state title winning team 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he's used to – he's played a lot of basketball for them. I don't know if he played a ton of varsity as a freshman, maybe came off the bench. But, you know, he's a kid who, if he was out on his own, he'd be getting talked about a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of everybody thinks he's just a kid that plays with Romeo. But if he went to another 4A school down there, Floyd Central, some other big school down there, he'd be getting a lot of pub.
Yeah, it's kind of the yin and yang. You know, you get a chance to play in front of all these crowds, but you're not the guy that everyone's there for. So it's kind of like it's good and
can you score 17 points a game and go unnoticed?
Yeah.
On one of the top five teams in the state.
Yeah. And there's high, you know, they expect a lot out of him. He's got to handle the ball. You know, he's got to get the ball to Romeo when he wants it and needs it, and that's where he need it to go. But also got to do some scoring himself. So I've been really impressed the times I've seen him this year. I think he's a better player than I thought he was. So I'd definitely say that.
Definitely. You have anything else to add here, Shark?
I don't think so. We've gotten a lot of stuff out of Kyle today. Thank you again for coming on. Hope the youth basketball team improves for you. We definitely don't want to see you under 500 much longer.
Shark will be making margaritas here for the next podcast. So,
Kyle will be bringing in cold Keystone Light here.
It's been a while since I've had that, thank God.
Be like Shooter in drinking on the bench.
Yeah. Next podcast, if you thought this was good, next podcast is going to be real interesting.
Really, we're going to loosen things up a little bit. No, thanks for having me on. I enjoy talking to you guys. I know you're not clueless about high school basketball, which is...
You see how he was searching. He paused to say something nice about us.
He was looking at you, man.
He was looking at me.
You specifically.
Yeah, exactly.
Not clueless, no. No, you guys do your homework, and that, you know, you probably see even more than I do in a lot of aspects, but something we all enjoy, I think, and look forward to, and it's fun to talk about. Especially this time of year. I thought county and city are two of my favorite things, so...
It's kind of the back stretch of the season after the county and city, too. You kind of see the finish line is nearing.
Yeah, which is crazy, you know, because it's just it seems like we just started.
And, right.
And I cover a lot of football, so you're dealing with that a lot of the time. And,
right.
But, yeah, it's a good, you know, once you get through, you know, city, then you're pretty much thinking ahead to sectional already. Right. So we're getting close.
Yeah, 5 weeks away from the sectional draw, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing a show, actually, this year. It's not going to be the draw show, but I think for Fox Sports, we're going to do like a where you sit down and talk about the draw. Yeah, so that'll be fun.
Good deal.
We'll have to keep our calendars open for that.
Yeah, we'll wait for the invite.
Someone will be calling you.
Have your people get to our people.
All right. Thank you very much, Kyle.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.